Today is the 26th of October, 2023. The subject for today is Israel, the nemesis and current events. Israel, full stop, colon, the nemesis and current events. Not saying that Israel is the nemesis, but we'll get to that. As most of you already know, in one of my past studies, I spoke about the omissions of certain scripture in a list of Bible verses since the King James Version was printed. Since the time of this study, we have had some rather harrowing events in the Middle East that are not necessarily new. However, they have taken on a rather increased impact on the region and the world as a whole. It got me wondering if the same could be said for different versions of the Quran as far as omissions were concerned and how it could be measured against prophecy from the King James Version. On October 22nd, Alan Nass was presenting a study in which he had mentioned the events in the Middle East. He stated that it was difficult to know who to believe, whether the Palestinians were lying, whether the Israelis were lying, whether any other factions around were lying, or whether any of the news outlets were presenting the truth. In addition, he mentioned politicians and their questionable commentaries. Discernment here can be a very difficult task. But what I find for my resolve is the truth that is conveyed from God in Scripture. This, I believe, is paramount. And folks, I do ask that you bear with me in my approach to the study of Scripture, and that I have need to see things in a logical fashion, not only for my own understanding, but to have an answer. And I give you 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Apparently, and if there's anybody out there that has reservations about the Quran, I apologize. This is not purposeful to hurt or anything, but I think it's good to know everything that's around you, you know, for a better understanding of truth that's put before you. Apparently, the oldest Quran is the Birmingham manuscript, which is a single sheet of parchment from an early Quranic manuscript. It has allegedly been dated between 568 and 645 AD. Allegedly, the Quran was conveyed to the Prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel. According to Sunni scholars, during the life of Muhammad, parts of the Quran, though written, were scattered among his companions, much of it as private possession. After the Battle of Yamama in 633, when 70 Muslims who had memorized the Quran were killed, steps began to be taken to collate the body of material. Thus, within 20 years of Muhammad's death, the Quran was committed to written form. That text became the model from which copies were made and promulgated throughout the urban centers of the Muslim world, and other versions are believed to have been destroyed. Might also point out the Torah predates the Quran by 8 to 950 years. That being said, Muslims believe Christians to be dhimmis, religious tax. What this basically meant is that under Sharia law, the dhimmis could buy their way into society via a particular tax. I point this out specifically to counter some zealous beliefs and doctrines that are held by certain members of Islam today. By their own belief, it seems that you can buy your way into favor. In the Quran, Kaf 50, verse 38, it states, "And we did certainly create the heavens and earth and what is between them in 6 days, and there touched us no weariness." "We and us" is used in the Quran as a reference to one of a higher power. Sound familiar? There are many similarities in history denoted within the Quran to that of the King James Version, but then there was a lot of the Quran that was cataloged and or derived from minimal writings due to the ever-changing landscape and what seems to be the desired narrative of who was in power at the time. I am not in any way, shape, or form qualifying the Quran. Rather, I am only pointing out parallels in the literary content contained within both books and not defining veracity in this paragraph. Now going off in a little bit of a different direction here, the Surat al-Baqarah 2, verse 190. "Fight in the way of Allah, those who fight against you, but do not transgress. For Allah does not love transgressors." 191. "Kill them whenever you confront them and drive them out from where they drove you out. For though killing is sinful," parentheses, "wrongful persecution is even worse than killing. Do not fight against them near the holy mosque unless they fight against you. But if they fight against you, kill them. For that is the reward of such unbelievers." 2:192. "Then if they desist, know well that Allah is ever forgiving, most compassionate." 2:193. "Keep on fighting against them until mischief ends and the way prescribed by Allah prevails." 204. "But if they desist, then know that hostility is directed only against the wrongdoers." That's 205. I was a little behind there. In my opinion, and with as much humility as I can possibly muster, it appears to me that committing sin is okay as long as what was offensive to you is of such a more egregious measure, is of a much more egregious measure as laid out by Allah. On a side note, I was watching on PBS's Rick Steves program, Travels in Europe, where he was in the main Imam Central Mosque in Iran, where there were banners, rather large banners, emblazoned with the words, "Death to Israel." The reason I bring up some of these writings from the Quran is because I think it is important to understand some of the possible misdirection, misconception, or deliberate misconstruing that occurs with certain elements of these writings and the strife being generated today in light of this. Let me paint a picture using scripture from the King James Version. Genesis 16, verse 12. "And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." This is regarding Ishmael and his offspring. The behavior regarding some of the lineage was foretold as far back as Genesis 16. Now, either these people read scripture and decided to take it upon themselves to make the scripture come true, or it was a true foretelling. Either way, it has come to fruition. We go to Leviticus chapter 18, 21 through 25. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Numbers 25, 1 through 3. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined herself unto Baal-Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Numbers 31:17. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. In other words, there will be no descendants to avenge their predecessors. This cleansing is harsh, but that is by our standards, not necessarily God's standards. Now I will refer back to the Quran to further illustrate a point I will make, and hopefully I won't confound your understanding of my presentation. In chapter 43, 61, 62, 63, and 64. Verily he, in other words Jesus, is a portent of the hour. So be in no doubt concerning it and follow me. This is the straight way. Let not Satan hinder you for believing in the hour. Parentheses. For surely he is your open enemy. When Jesus came with clear signs and said, I have brought wisdom to you that I may make plain to you some of the things you differ about. So fear Allah and follow me. Allah is my Lord and your Lord. Therefore serve him. That is the straight way. Jesus is portrayed as a prophet and not the Son of God in the Quran. Again in the Quran, a new translation by Abdel Halim, chapter 3, starting at verse 50, it states, I have come to confirm the truth of the Torah, which preceded me, and to make things lawful to you, which used to be forbidden. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. Be mindful of God. Obey me. God is my Lord and your Lord. So serve him. That is a straight path. Jumping now to verse 55, it states, God said, Jesus, I will take you back and raise you up to me. I will purify you of the disbelievers. To the day of resurrection, I will make those who follow you superior to those who disbelieved. Then you will all return to me, and I will judge between you regarding your differences. In verse 50, I found it interesting to note that the Torah is spoken of, and it appears to have preceded the Quran. There also is a hint of Jesus' presence on earth that somewhat alludes to something we are familiar with, the mystery. Let me read that again. This is in verse 50, chapter 3, verse 50 of the Quran. I have come to confirm the truth of the Torah, which preceded me, and to make some things lawful to you, which used to be forbidden. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. Be mindful of God. Obey me. Full stop. God is my Lord and your Lord. So serve him. That is a straight path. May seem hidden to you in there, but the similarities are somewhat uncanny to me. In Surah, in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 3, He has set down upon you, O Muhammad, the book in truth, confirming what was before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Gospel. In 18, verse 27, O Prophet, recite to them from the book of your Lord what has been revealed to you for none may change his words. And were you to make any change in his words, you will find no refuge from him. Another familiar line. Surah in the Quran, 5, verse 68. Say, O Prophet, O people of the book, you have nothing to stand on unless you observe the Torah, the Gospel, and what has been revealed to you from your Lord. And your Lord's revelation to you, O Prophet, will only cause many of them to increase in wickedness and disbelief. So do not grieve for the people who disbelieve. What I am referencing are factions, you know, such as, you know, what we're dealing with right now, or Israel is dealing with Hamas, which in Hebrew was Hamas, Chamac, and it's usage. The NAS word usage is 8 different times. And it's basically to wrong, do violence to, treat violently, do wrongly, to treat violently, do wrong, a physical wrong, a ethical wrong, a physical and ethical wrong, to be treated violently. Verse count for this word is a total of 59. And it's through Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Judges, Samuel, or 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, Job, Psalms, it's used 14 times, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Malachi. Hamas is an Arabic acronym for Harakat al-Maqawama al-Islamiya, which means the Islamic Resistance Movement. But Hamas is also an Arabic word that means zeal. And it may sound like I know how I'm pronouncing that, but I'm just acting. Hamas, with an H, and other terrorist-based factions within the realm of Islam sometimes take their beliefs away from the context of what is stated in the Quran. There are plenty of surahs in the Quran that advocate violence, especially if one is unwilling to convert to Islam. There is also mention of earthly rewards if battle survival is accomplished. For the most part, to me, it reads like a laundry list of rules and regulations, tasks and rewards, worldly empowerment. In some ways, from what I have gathered in reading excerpts from the Quran, it seems like the information was gathered from a pre-existing line of biblically historical events in part and shaped to fulfill mortal desires and expectations. More so, I would say, for absolute male domination of the world. To loosely use a term of not wanting to be the pot calling the kettle black, there are many so-called Christians who take scripture out of context to suit their own desires and needs as well. Looking to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is in the King James Version. Now, I'll read from the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. There is one TV evangelist that I won't name that leans towards the NIV words and espouses prosperity of an earthly nature. Aside from the prophetic message in Genesis 16, verse 12, I feel it's important to note that some of the events that have afflicted the Jews, Israel, over the last 160 years. I won't go into detail regarding what follows. Rather, I will implore you to look up this information yourself, or better grammar, to look this information up yourself somewhere in there. 1917, the Balfour Declaration. 1930s. Jews seek to flee Nazi rule, but have nowhere to go. World War II, the Holocaust. 1948, the formation of Israel and the Nakba. This I'll elaborate on just a little bit. During the Arab-Israeli War and in the militia attacks that preceded it, more than 700,000 Palestinians were forced to flee and approximately 15,000 were killed in what Palestinians refer to as the Nakba, Arabic for catastrophe. It's a formative event for Palestinian identity and has been observed annually in the years since, including by the United Nations for the first time in 2023. Some have warned that the current Israeli offensive response in Gaza, in which more than 1 million Palestinians have been told by Israel to flee, is amounting to a second Nakba. In the 1950s, the Levant Affair and the Suez Crisis. 1967, the Six-Day War. 1973, the Yom Kippur War, an extension of the Six-Day War. 1982, the First Lebanon War. 1987 to 1993, the First Intifada, culminating in the Oslo Accords. 2000 to 2003, the Second Intifada. 2005, Israel temporarily withdraws from Gaza. 2006, the Hamas takeover of Gaza and the Second Lebanon War. 2008 to 2014, wars in Gaza. 2021, a major escalation in East Jerusalem and Gaza. 2023, attempts at normalization in the Middle East falter amid a new war. All this time has passed, and in the face of what would seem to be insurmountable odds, Israel has maintained her sovereignty and protected herself from the onslaught waged by the Arab countries that surround her. In my mind, this speaks strongly of the protection of God. In one of the, So one of the questions I posed to myself, what would it take for the United States to turn her back on Israel and for other nations to do so as well? Maybe it would take a scorched earth campaign by the Israelis on Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Maybe it would take a preemptive strike at Iran, who has reportedly supported Hamas and is also reportedly close to nuclear weaponry. In any event, I believe we are witnessing a prophetic time in history. This should place a tangible measure on Scripture for those who find it out of their reach to understand or simply refuse to hear an unobjectionable truth. Going to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That being said, my government and other governments may turn their back on Israel, but in my heart my love for Israel shall not wane, and my hope is that the Lord will find favor with what he sees in my heart. I'm not trying to take Scripture out of context, but I do believe that that is something to take into consideration. I find it interesting that this morning Ronnie broached the subject of supporting Israel and the parallel to the study commentary here. Not given to coincidence, I will say it is an important subject and requires heed to be given. So when I watch the news and the reports that are presented, that in and of itself is another subject of great importance in how to properly disseminate or interpret the information from the various news agencies. It becomes apparent to me how close we are to that slippery slope of prophecy. Don't get me wrong, as I do not see this as a bad thing. Rather, it is the continuing truth that has been laid out by God. I can still wonder as to what the hereafter will be like, but I needn't wonder as to whether there will be a hereafter as long as my hope and faith remain intact. I do believe it is important to, you know, to look to the Middle East and see what is happening, and how other countries are going to react to it. I do think that that is, you'll have some very telltale signs there, and their actions will be indicative of what is to come. Supporting the prophecies in Scripture. Thank you, folks, for being here this morning and listening to me and bearing with me in this study. I hope it has been worthwhile, and I hope you look forward to yourself addressing some of the stuff that I have mentioned here this morning and proving it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Prove it yourself. Lord, thank you for being with us, and I especially thank you for being with this speaker in his attempt to do justice to the important information contained herein. We all have the need and desire to be compassed about by your love that was pronounced through the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. We stand before you accepting your will, your judgment, your wisdom, and we pray to always find favor with you, Lord. Amen.